Cardi 104.
Good morning, it's Abbey 104, Sunday morning at 11.06, and it's time for Folk Tales. I'm Terry Bennett, and in the studio this morning I have with me Phil Prout. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
And you are the manager of the Sherborne Abbey shop.
I am indeed,
and yes. Also the main man in charge of the Digby Church Hall, is that correct? Tell us a little bit about the Abbey shop. What do you do and what do you sell?
Right, it's based in the Abbey Close, and we sell cards, books, CDs and much more, really. All the profits that we make are pumped back into the Abbey. So it's a good shop and does very well. The hall itself, I'd like to mention that, is a community building where we have markets, fairs, lots of Tai Chi's and yogas, and that is really thriving, and that's just based in Digby Road. And give me a call if you want to book it.
Yes, okay, well, we'll come on to that a bit later. Yeah. But in terms of the church hall, that's been associated with the Abbey for quite some while, hasn't it?
110 years.
Right, okay, yeah, so this is the area where you all gather to do anything in connection with the Abbey, and your coffee mornings and all
yes,
that.
Yes, everything then.
I see.
Markets, everything.
And the shop is, as you say, just in Abbey Close, just opposite the Abbey, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
How long's that been going?
Well, that's been going about 30 years. It was a cottage, and then the people died in that, and the parish bought that and converted it into a shop. And it's been ever since. It's run by volunteers, and I'm the manager, and that's the way it really works. It would not work without volunteers.
So many of these things depend heavily on people being able to give their time, don't they?
They do indeed, yes.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about the Abbey shop and what you get up to there later in the interview, but let's take your first track. This is Imagine by John Lennon. Why have you chosen this?
Well, you know, when I was a teenager, it was the Beatles or the Stones, and I thought about a Beatles number. Then I thought, well, I always liked John Lennon. He's probably a bit like me, really, a bit of a rebel, and the song, if you think about it, the world as it is today, the turmoil and the displacement of people, and the words from John in this song. And I think if John came back today, I think he would probably be horrified at what is still going on. So it's a real poignant track, and I think it's a great song as well.
Okay.
Below us,
imagine no possessions.
Imagine there by John Lennon from 1971, and actually the best-selling single of his career, and also one of the most played tracks of the 20th century, so my research tells me. Anyway, chosen by Phil Prout, who is our guest in the studio this morning on Folk Tales. And Phil, you're the manager of the Abbey Shop.
Correct.
And we be careful not to call it the Abbey Bookshop. It's a different entity altogether, isn't it? So
they do get mixed up
yes,
on numerous occasions.
But we talked a little bit about what that was, and we'll come back to that later. But where did it all begin for you? Are you a local lad?
Yes, I was born and bred here in Sherborne.
Lovely.
Born at the Ekman Hospital. Ah. And what a fantastic hospital that's been through the ages, and still for, you know, looking after people now in,
yes,
you know, the Willows and... And still there, and that's a very important thing in a small town.
Mm. No longer a maternity unit,
no,
of course, but...
No. Some of my children were actually born there as well, yeah. So that's good, but obviously not a maternity now, no.
No, no. We've had Anne Hiscock, who's the matron there, and she's been on the programme as well.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it all started for you in Sherborne then?
It did.
And so school was around about here as well?
School was the, was the council school then, but it's now... Sherborne Primary or whatever, and we lived very locally in a prefab. They were just two-bedroom prefabs, and there was 27 of them. I can remember that, and we were number 24.
Right.
So we can go back, and it was only a three, four-minute walk to the school.
They're gone now.
They've all gone now.
Whereabouts in Sherborne were they?
They were just round where Harbour Road is, in Harbour Road.
Ooh, okay.
All round there.
All right.
Yeah.
And were you a big family?
It was just myself and my brother at the time, and...
Mm-hmm.
Just the two of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he was older than me, so I got bullied a bit.
Oh dear. So Sherborne Primary it was, and mother and father, what occupations did they call?
In those days, mum stayed at home looking after the family. Mm. Father had all sorts of jobs. I mean, he was in the RAF to start with, but when he came out of that, he did sort of undertaking and helped what was my granddad then in the haulage business, and he drove lorries and coaches. So he had a mixed bag of jobs until he retired to look after my mum, who was then in fairly bad health.
I see. Okay. Mm. So, good memories of childhood days?
Oh, great, great childhood days.
In and around Sherborne?
Oh, in Sherborne, yes. Yeah.
And there came a time, obviously, when you then had to move on to senior school.
That's correct. I then went up to St Oldham's, as it was then. Obviously, it's the Griffin School now, but it was St Oldham's. And, it was great times up there, really. You know,
yeah.
I had a good education up there.
Mm. Were you an academic?
Well, yeah, I think so. I did everything. I enjoyed everything, really, you know.
Yeah, okay. So you did reasonably okay.
Reasonably okay, but probably should have done better. But you can't sit down all the time and, you know, look at books.
What other things distracted you in those days?
Well,
and what you were
really
into?
Music and things
music.
Like that. Uh-huh. And pop bands and stuff, you know.
Pop bands, okay. Yeah, yeah. Any of those feature on your list? I suspect some of them do.
I bet they do, yes. You'll find out in a while.
I got a feeling that Deep Purple may crop up later.
I think they may.
So you were in and around Sherborne growing up, and any thoughts of career in those days, or was it all fairly open?
It was all open, but I mean, because my father was in the RAF, I felt that would be great if I could do that. But it just didn't work out. And what happened then, I ended up at starting my career in printing,
okay.
which was turned out to be a very, very good career indeed.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and for a long time as well. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come on to that in a moment. But so it was really the RAF was calling you.
It was calling me, and I just didn't quite get there. I think there was so much need to do, and in those days, I think, you know, although my father was in the RAF, I think he would have not wanted me to go in there.
I see.
That's that's the way it was, I think.
All right. Know. And so you ended up in printing. How has Sherborne changed over those years? Because you kind of imagine that it was a slightly gentler pace of life.
It was indeed, you know, there was not so many cars around. It was quieter. Obviously the shops have kept their character in lots of ways. We had more petrol stations then. I can remember about four or five. Garages. But then now we've got one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, well, we'll come on to your career choice in a moment, but before that we'll go and have your second track. This is Bruce Hornsby in The Range. The Way It Is.
Well, this is a song that we always used to hear on the radio, and my wife Sally loves this song, so she didn't know I was going to play this now, but she just loves it and wants me to play it all the time when I do a montage of music at home sometimes.
Okay, so we'll dedicate this one to your wife Sally as well, shall we?
Yes.
And it's Bruce Hornsby and The Way It Is.
Thank you. will never change. That's just the way it is. That's just the way.
That's Bruce Hornsby and The Way It Is, as chosen by my guest today on Folk Tales, and that's Phil Prout. And Phil is the manager of the Sherborne Abbey shop, which we'll talk a bit more about later. But Phil, we were discussing your childhood, and that was in and around Sherborne, and sounds like a very happy time for you.
Yeah.
And we should say, of course, that your involvement with Sherborne Abbey and the church generally goes back to those days, doesn't it? Because you were a church chorister, weren't you?
I was indeed. I joined the choir, I think it was probably about 11 or 12, and we had mates, and we all sort of joined, about four or five of us. And it was great times, because you had choir outings. Every year we used to have a pantomime, and it was always normally at Weymouth, excuse me, or Bournemouth, and something to look forward to. And actually, we got paid for weddings. I think, remember then, it was probably about, I don't know, about 7 and 6. I don't know what it was, but it was we really had great times in the choir as a boy. And I'm going to tell you one quick story. We used to go down there, two or three of us, and put our surplices on before the evensong, hide in the cupboards where the robes were. When the juniors come in, we'd leap out and make out we were ghosts. it was just memorable times. And of course, when your voice broke, you had a choice, really, leave or move up into the men's. And we did for a while, but we drifted away.
Those were the days when it was more cool to be a member of the church choir, presumably.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was great. But into the men's, well, there was too many other things out there, Terry, to distract you. You know, music scene was on board, and you just didn't want to be going to church every week then. So we kind of drifted away for a while.
Mm-hmm. But you maintained your church involvement.
Oh, yes, indeed. Before I knew it, I was chapel warden at St. Paul's Church for quite a while. And that meant going every week.
St. Paul's, we should say, is up... where is it?
St. Paul's Green, on the green there.
Yeah.
And that church is very rarely used now, because it's now St. Paul's at the Griffin. The problem was with St. Paul's Church, parking. More and more people come, and of course there was nowhere to park in the end, because they haven't got a car park. Mm. So it sort of lost its way a bit with people.
Yeah. Mm. So you were involved with that, and then latterly with the Abbey.
Yes, right. Then I moved to the Abbey more, and I've since been a sidesman at the Abbey. I do the chalice, just serving the wine, and just do a lot in the Abbey on various committees.
I should say, Phil, that you're one of our best-dressed guests ever, because you've just come from the Abbey, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes. I've just come from the Eucharist, and I've got my suit on, although...
I wish everybody made this effort.
I know, I mean, coming in here, Terry, I mean, you've got jeans on, I see.
I'm sorry about that, yes. Anyway, let's get back to your life story. And you left school, ultimately, and... In those days, you had discounted the RAF,
yeah,
and you found a job within printing. How did all that come about?
Well, I think my father really looked around and said, there's a job going at Saltells of Sherborne, the print company. Go up and chat to them. And so I did. And next thing, yes, I'm on board. And it was a print finishing, really, and did a sort of a male learnership scheme, like an apprenticeship. And away I go. And I stayed there right until its closure in 1979, I think.
Just tell us about the early days in a printing company like that, because things in printing have moved on technologically like many other industries.
They have indeed.
Were you actually typesetting? And
No, I was just
like
doing folding machines, guillotine, stitcher, binding, all that sort of work, the actual print finishing, that was me.
A lot of which would be automated these days.
Oh, yes, automated, yes.
But that was the days when you had to actually do it all manually.
Yep, something you had to do by hand, just drilling holes in things with a drill, you know, but now we've moved well on.
Did you go in as an apprentice? Or
Yes, did that, yeah. Yeah. Did a male learnership scheme, and we did the same as apprenticeship, really. And
Saltells were a big employer in Sherborne in those days, weren't they?
They were indeed, and I think we can remember in the good days, there was about 40 or 50 there, and that's, you know, phenomenal in a small town, in a factory that's just there.
And the factory is still there, of course.
It is indeed. Now I occupied by the girls' school. Use that as their workshop.
Yes, just up there in Bradford Road, isn't it?
Bradford Road, yes. Indeed, yeah.
So how long were you with Saltells?
I was there at 30 years, I think, something like that. 26 years, beg your pardon, yeah.
So I imagine that took you up through the ranks a bit during those
times. It did. I mean, I was...
What do you do after you've learnt the basics of it?
Well, I was estimating, which is obviously doing all the pricing. And then at that time, I was assistant general manager. So I was right up there. But unfortunately, with interest rates at that time in the country being very high around that time, a lot of printing companies went to the wall, and Saltells were one of them.
What led to that? It was just a question of not being able to compete.
I think it was just really just competition and costs and borrowing for any reason. Mm. We just didn't have the work sometimes. And obviously, you know, there were so many costs, and it came to an end.
Right.
We were part of a group, and that didn't help. Some of the other companies in the group were really struggling as well, which it brought the whole thing down.
Mm, okay. And I guess the number of printing companies has greatly reduced over the years.
They've absolutely
into much larger
decimated over the years, yes. Mm. Yeah.
So that left you with a problem then, because facing unemployment.
But I, lucky enough, I found a job fairly straight away at the Friary Press in Dorchester, which was a very big company. And I had all the knowledge and lots of contacts. So I went down there as a rep, which was brilliant.
So a sales rep, effectively.
Sales rep, yes, all over the place. Right. And did very well.
Okay. Had you been doing that at Saltells?
No, I was just really estimating. No, I wasn't out on the road in Saltells.
So a bit of a change of direction, then.
It was, yeah. But it was good because I had lots of, you know, contacts of all this stuff, and it was good.
So you started getting out and wandering around the countryside, then?
I did, yeah. Well,
did that take you?
Driving miles, really, hundreds of miles.
Did that take you very far afield?
Yes, I mean, I was sort of all over the place, just south, really, not too far. I left that company, though, after a while, and I had a contact that was there, and I got this similar job down in Romsey in Hampshire.
Okay.
A company called Borkum Printers, and they were a great company, and of course I took all that knowledge with me there and did very well there.
Okay, so you did how long at Friary?
Friary was only there about 2 years.
I see, okay. Yeah. But then so what led you to look elsewhere?
A lady that actually moved from there said, Phil, there's a great job going down here as a rep. The previous rep's just been sacked because he only bought in £8,000 worth of work in 1 year.
Ah, right. Probably a little short of target then.
Yes, very short, I think.
So this was then a move to Romsey, although you didn't move house, presumably.
No. It was just commuting, really, because it was all over again. You were here, you were there, you didn't... But I didn't have to go there every day, which was great, but... So it was a lot of miles.
Again, you were out on the road.
Out on the road.
Did you manage to pull in more than £8,000 in your first year?
In my first year, I think I remember, I, I bought in about £350,000 worth. So, you know, it's the best thing since sliced bread then.
They were satisfied with that.
They were.
Okay, so it was a bit of a change of direction on what you'd been doing. You were effectively a salesman then.
That's right, I was a salesman. Mm. But then there were targets, and you were expected to keep it going.
Of course.
The problem is, when you bring in a lot of work in 1 year, you're expected to beat it the next year.
Mm.
And that gradually become more difficult.
More and more difficult. Mm. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, and the face of the printing industry continued to change, presumably, and it wasn't getting any easier.
It was not. Loads of printing companies that we knew, because you just knew all the names of them around the area in the southwest. You know, several of them gradually sort of went to the wall.
Yes, yeah. In the middle of this, somewhere, you got married.
We did, yes. 1997, married again, and it was... We had a blessing service in the Abbey for that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we that was on Easter Day.
Okay.
But we couldn't get married in the Abbey because the then Bishop of Salisbury didn't quite allow you to be remarried. I mean, that's changed now,
yes.
As you probably guess.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't have the choir, which was rather disappointing because it was... they were on holiday, I think, so we just had a blessing service, and it was lovely.
I see. Okay, so another connection with the Abbey again.
Yes, it was.
And you being still based in Sherborne, you were still able to keep up your links with the churches?
Oh, yes, definitely, yeah. Mm. Did a lot for the Abbey. Still do.
Yeah. Okay. So how long did the Romsey connection last then?
The Romsey connection, I think, was exactly 16 years.
Right.
And yet again, problems with the company, and we had a couple of reprieves when someone took over and bought it out, but it didn't work, and then we were all made redundant.
Right.
So that was two redundancies in the print trade.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not the end of the world.
Over that period of time, were you a rep throughout that period, or did
right
you
the way
on?
Through?
You
a
did,
rep,
I see.
Yeah.
And were you? You were comfortable doing that. That was enjoyable work.
Yes, it was enjoyable, but it was getting harder and harder because if we didn't bring in the work, we couldn't find the work out there sometimes. Mm. It was so competitive. There were so many reps out there fighting for what was then just minimal amounts of work.
And I imagine a decreasing amount of work, really, because more and more electronic media
digital print came in,
sure.
And that really... sort of hammered a lot of sheet-fed stuff because it was cheaper and it was more... And online as well, that was all coming.
And
people...
The advent of Kindles and all
that's
of
it,
that
yes, stuff,
reduced
yeah.
the amount being printed
yeah,
anyway.
People were, you know, printing it off their own computers.
Sure.
You know.
Mm. So changing face of the industry as well as just the localised firms.
That's right. Yeah.
So you found yourself again unemployed then after
yes,
that.
Yes.
And what year was that?
2008.
I see. Okay.
And I was 59. So you think, am I now on the scrap heap?
Oh, absolutely. It's an awkward age, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So, what were the thoughts at that time?
Well, of course, the first thing you do is try and find another job in the printing industry.
Sure.
And I'm really glad I didn't get one in a way because I was lucky enough to be offered the church hall job. Canon Eric said, sort the hall out, please. And, you know, I think I have. And 3 months later, the shop. So okay. I was managing both.
That seems like an appropriate moment before we go on to that to take your third track, which is Spandau Ballet and Gold. Tell us why.
Well, I just love the music. And Tony Hadley, a fantastic singer. And it's great that he's bounced back from lots of problems within the band, and we saw them down at the Eden Project, Sally and I, about 3 years ago after they sort of reformed again, and they were fabulous. They were just like it was in the 80s.
Okay, Spandau Ballet.
Thank you for coming home. Sorry that the chairs are all warm. I left them here, I could have sworn. These are my salad
day slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today.
Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel small. Luck has left me standing so tall. Gold heart, always believe in your soul.
Spandau Ballet and Gold from their album True of 1983, chosen by Phil Prout, my guest in the studio today. And Phil is the manager of Sherborne Abbey Shop. Phil, we've talked about your career in the print industry and the fact that you were working in Romsey as a rep for a good number of years.
Yep.
But then the changes in the industry led to that company going under. And you found yourself, again, looking for other jobs, but not in the print industry this time.
Well, I did start to look, and then it didn't happen. So I was offered a job to look after the church hall in Digby Road.
Okay.
It needed a lot doing. It was sort of in the 60s era, and the bookings were dropping, and it just needed a real good sort out. And we have a committee which helped, and gradually we just went through it, and right the way through things. And chairs, we had a lot of old chairs in there that had to go, and a parishioner left us some money, so we bought all brand new chairs for the hall, which was great. And there was 230 of those.
Yep.
Just things like that. I remember when the first thing I did when I went into the hall, there was an old wooden sort of notice board in the lobby as you go in, and people used to come off the streets and put their taxi card on there and those sort of things, and all the stuff that was for the parish, there was no room. So I purchased these two great big lockable with Perspex doors, and now we have it all neatly, and I can go down and take out the stuff that's out of date and put the new poster up.
Yes.
That was just a start, really. And upstairs at that time, we had a dance academy. They left for all sorts of reasons, and then we had a spare room. So my vision was, let's get this tidied up, which we did. I had a kitchenette put up there, and obviously we had chairs and tables up there. We had proper heat put up there. Now we have a third room in that church hall, which is used a lot, and a lot of people love that room up there because it's although it's sort of over the on the car park side on the road, it's very light and airy, and the sun comes in there in the autumn and the summer. It's a great room, private room, toilets up there, and that's a favourite room that a lot of people like to book out for small events.
Mm. Okay, so you faced difficulties in terms of the fabric of the place because that needed attention and the fittings and everything. I imagine also any church needs to maximise the income you get from a resource like the church hall. Well, I'm sure Sherborne Abbey is no different from that point of view.
No. In the end, the Abbey treasurer wanted me to make sure that the hall pays its way. And the only way is by hiring that hall out as much as you can. It's the yogas, the Tai Chis, the markets and the fairs. They pay the money, and I invoice them. So all the surplus money goes on things you wish to do in that hall. We've had a new amplifier for the PA system. I think that cost about £250, you know, and this doesn't come from the parish pot. It comes from the money I can get through bookings.
Yes. So you found yourself as a sales rep again for the church hall.
Well, here I was doing, you know, the business thing for the church, and it's the only way it will work, really. And I just have to run it at a business. I even have things in there on Sundays, as long as they're in good taste, because Sundays, they just have to be. It's another day where we can get some revenue sometimes. Yeah.
Churches are increasingly businesses in some ways, aren't they? They
yeah.
have to bring in the income. All right, so you were well occupied then doing that, but that's not the end of it. The church shop came along as well.
It did indeed, yes. The previous sort of incumbent of the shop went off to do something, and it didn't work out. So then there was no manager in the shop. And so I was asked to take that over. And I thought, I don't know, I can't do this. But then I thought, well, look, it's cards, it's books, it's all the stuff that I've been in my print trade. And I only got to purchase them and get on accounts. And there I was away. It was enjoyable because I could just buy all the stuff I wanted at the the right price, and it's been great in the shop, really. We've had good times.
What were the challenges facing the shop when you took it over?
I think really, yet again, tight restraints. There was no money much to spend. I think the previous manager sort of had the shop full up with so much stuff you could hardly get in there, and there was no money to spend. So I toned it all down and got it back on track, I think that's the word. Mm. And we've had very good times over the years in the shop, and it's been good. And what we do is pump profits back in to the Abbey every year, so that actually goes in. So everything is really goes into the shop.
And this, of course, the premises for the shop are right opposite the Abbey. This is very old buildings, aren't they?
It is indeed, yeah. I mean, it was a cottage originally, but I think it was 15th century or 14th century. And the person died in there, and I know as a retired solicitor, I think he had a vision, let's go in there and I'll do all the paperwork and we'll make it into a shop. And they did, and that was 30 years ago, and it's been thriving since. It's great, and all volunteers in there, they come in. We open at 10, and the first shift is sort of 10 to 1:30, then 1:30 to 5, and they love it, the volunteers, because they're meeting people. And yes. That's good for them.
Yes.
Because they're all retired.
And they're mainly people from the Sherborne Abbey community, I imagine.
Yes, mostly. But some live just out in the... one lives near Wincanton, so comes in every week.
Right. And what's the stock? I mean, you must face competition in this sector as well, because things like greeting cards and CDs and things, which I imagine you stock down there.
We do.
Lots of other people are selling those online. And
well, yes, they are, but you know, we get good deals off of people. And I think where we score heavily is the fact, although I'm the manager and I get paid, all the volunteers obviously don't. So our overheads are kept down to a minimum, and we are a charity as well, so we don't have big overheads. It's just really, you know, the electricity, you know, and for heating and light, and me.
So you can make a decent amount on what you sell there without
too
much of it being taken away. Yeah. And that the income from that then goes to help the Abbey, I presume.
Indeed, yeah. And there is a bookstall in the Abbey, which is the unmanned part of the shop, I always call it. So I have a massive selection of cards, books, CDs on there. So we get a double hit if people don't come over to the shop, and some of them don't, you know.
Mm. And the premises, as we said, are quite old there, but have they needed substantial work at all?
Yes, we did have a big accident when I took over a couple of... I've only been there 2 years, and I think the water heater burst upstairs and flooded the whole of the shop.
Right.
But there was good news, because it ruined lots and lots of books, but the insurance paid out.
Ah, splendid. Well, that's a bit of an achievement to start with, isn't it? But all right, so it's all going along nicely. What changes do you foresee for the shop in the future? What needs to be done there going forward?
Well, I mean, one day, who knows, the shop could move into the Abbey like they do in cathedrals and fairly big abbeys, you know, like Sherborne. That could be the way forward in time, at some stage.
Bit of a space issue, isn't
Well, it? That's the space issue. It's all about being done in proper taste, and it couldn't be just sort of bulldozed in. It's something for the future, but I mean, it's not critical that that happens.
Okay. In the meantime, you have announced that you're going to retire from the shop next year, I believe.
Yes. It's time to move on. It'll be sort of nearly 11 years then. And, well, my wife and I were both going to retire. So, yes. Yeah.
Okay, time for somebody else to have a go.
Yes, I mean, end of July next year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, we'll talk in a moment about what you're then going to do. But let's have your penultimate track, which is Jethro Tull, Living in the Past. Why this?
Well, I'm not really sure why, but I just love the track. I always did love it, and just played it a lot, because it's just a great track.
That's as good a reason as any.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's Jethro Tull and Living in the Past, a track from 1969. Got to number three in the UK that year, and it was chosen by my guest in the studio, Phil Prout. And Phil, we've been talking about your career in printing and how you then came to look after the Church Hall and ultimately the Sherborne Abbey shop. But that's set to end in 2019. Yep. So what are you going to do then?
I don't know. I think I do know, really. We're going to spend more time walking, seeing the grandchildren, reading books, and probably pick up my guitar and learn how to play it properly.
Is that a long, lifelong interest, guitar?
Yes. I just want to play the guitar properly and learn. But when you're working, you just don't have time. By the time you get home, you know, it's... So there's a lot of things, National Trust places. We love to go to National Trust, Sally and I. So that's something we'll do. Reading, I've just hardly get time to read books. So I'm sure that, and we have a holiday home down in North Cornwall, so we'll spend probably even more time down there when it's hot and sunny.
And you're a great Yeovil Town Football Club supporter.
I am indeed, yes. Supported them since I was about 10. And... seen the good and the bad. I've seen the sloping pitch, obviously, gone, yes. Which is now...
Tesco's.
Well, can we mention this sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, we can.
And so now, yes, they're doing quite well. Division 2, and we got into the Championship a few years ago, but it didn't last. They're you know, doing great, Yeovil, really.
And I know when we were chatting ahead of this interview, we talked a little bit about the changing face of Sherborne and... you think there's a need for a hotel, I think you said to me, and how do you see Sherborne moving over the coming years?
Well, obviously, things like shops, they're going to come and they're going to go. I keep hearing about too many coffee shops in the town. Yes, we know that. But it's, the big thing for me is the hotel. When Sherborne Hotel went, we didn't... We missed out there in the town. We should really have had a low cost sort of premier income in because of the real need. When people come to visit the Abbey for, you know, families for weddings from afar off, there is really nowhere. And just go all together in a big hotel. So I think we've slipped up there, really. And that's a shame. Mm-hmm. Housing is another thing I feel quite strong about in the town. We really need social housing, low-cost housing, I don't know what the word is, but for people that live and work in the town and build houses that people can get on a ladder with, perhaps, you know, part rent, part buy, for people to just have and not sell off and for profit.
Mm. Okay. And I imagine your retirement from the Abbey shop won't signify your end of your connection with the Abbey, though.
In no way, no. It's only the day job that's going, and not the Sunday morning worship.
You'll still be a common feature around and about the Abbey.
I will.
Okay. Well, Phil, that's been great chatting to you. We've come towards the end of the interview. We're going to end with your final track, Deep Purple. Now, we alluded earlier to the fact that you are a great fan of this particular band. How far back does that interest go?
Right the way back in, to 1968 when they really got going. And I just loved Deep Purple then because it was different. John Lord was Mark II Purple. I really got into Blackmore, Gillan, Glover, Lord and Pace. And they were just brilliant. And I just love all the stuff they've done. I probably got every CD they've made. Racks and racks of them, still play them. And it just doesn't tire. And when Sally's at work, I'll put perhaps something on loud, like Smoke on the Water, really loud. And I always remember Richie Blackmore once on an interview I heard, if you're going to play rock music, you have to play it loud. And I can assure you, when Sally's at work, I do play it loud.
Okay, well, the track is Smoke on the Water from 1972 from the Machine Head album. Phil, it's been great chatting to you. Okay. Thank you for coming in. We wish you well in your impending retirement, and we look forward to seeing you around Sherborne still.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for that.